My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first-timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change-ups, the cast won't break up. Even with that million-dollar contract, show up a stand-up guy who's a stand-up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, August 29th, 2021. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. But if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe to the show for hours and hours and hours and hours of bonus content. Stuff like that. This is episode 529. I have a super special return guest. You know him. You love him. Tim Hall, a.k.a. the People's Critic. He's right here with me. How are you, sir?
Man, I am well, sir. Thank you for having me back on. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime, man. I always bug you. I'm like, hey, Tim, are you going to see Candyman? If you want to do my podcast, let's do it on a Friday night.
I'm washed, bro. So my Friday nights is usually pretty chill. I'm not really doing much. To be fair, I'm trying to work out more. So I've been trying to hit the gym on Friday nights.
Go ahead.
It's empty. That's what, well, I love it. There's no one in the gym. It's quiet.
Isn't that the best?
The best.
I worked from home. We are recording this on a Friday night. And when I logged off out of work today, I was thinking about going to see The Protégé. I had my tickets and everything. I had my ticket. And then somebody sat a little too close to me on the seating chart. So I was like, I want to see this, but I'm not that pressed. So I just ran some errands. I went to get a belt and I bought a shirt for work. That was one of the most exciting things that I did. I was paying for my belt and I looked behind the register and I was like, oh my God, what's that shirt there? And she said, the lady was like, oh, we're going to send these over to another store because they're not selling here. It was a nice polo shirt. It was on sale for like 25% off.
Yes.
So I have another work shirt.
Nice.
Pretty exciting, man.
You're living the life, brother.
Yep. Then I went to the grocery store, got some fruit, got some potato wedges. Warmed up some fried chicken that I made this week and in the oven, and had some potato wedges and some broccoli rabe. Played a little Black Panther, and now I'm doing this podcast, man.
It's all right. How's it been getting back into stand-up? Has it been difficult?
At first the show was weird. Because that happened in May. So that was right around the time that the mandate got lifted, mm-hmm. like where you didn't have to wear a mask if you were vaccinated. And people were like, I don't know, should I wear my mask? And I was doing this show at a new place. It was like a fundraiser for a Democratic councilman or something. And I was trying to get my shit together because I had a booked a gig with JL Covan in Connecticut. So that was in June. So I had some time. And I was like, let me get on this. And it was okay. I did like 9 minutes and it wasn't bad, but it was just like, okay, I still got it. And then I just got my sea legs back together and it's fine.
I can imagine it's like a muscle. You have to just keep working on it.
Yeah.
For a while, if you feel a little out of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. Like, now the thing is getting booked. I see all these people. I see people on Instagram getting booked. All that's like, God damn, I'm not cool anymore. But yeah, whatever. I got a show next week in Queens.
There you go. Yeah. Listen, I want you to be a regular on a CW show so we can, you know, can celebrate.
I don't know if I'm not hot enough to be a regular on a seat. I could probably be like somebody's dad.
Or like the fun uncle.
I could be a fun uncle or a dad on a CW show. I wouldn't mind that.
But that's not true, Chris. You could be a love interest in one of those, like, She's Out of My League movies.
I would love that. I would kill that shit. Like, if you clean me up, I'm okay. I'm fine. But I just have to hit the cardio a lot harder. But I'm, you know, I rode my bike today and I'm ruining it by having some red stripe. I figure,
hey, that's all right, man.
The last two in my refrigerator, and it's Friday. I'm talking to Tim Hall, aka the People's Pretty. How's the weather out there?
It's like 70 now, mm-hmm. 70, which is fine. But we had a stretch, you know, thank God for global warming, where it was just hot. It never gets that hot here. It was in the 100s. We rarely hit three digits. And the problem is most homes here in the Pacific Northwest don't have AC. What would be the point?
Because it's raining all the time? Or
we all needed it. And I ended up booking a hotel downtown for like a couple nights. I was like, I can't do this. I'm gonna die in my house. I'm gonna melt.
I think, didn't you say the talk? Would you? You weren't. When was the last time you were on? We did one. We did the Chris Pratt movie.
Yeah.
And we did
that Alien Killer movie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I forget what it was. It was okay.
Yeah.
Tomorrow War.
So yeah, the weather's been nice. It's, you know, fall's obviously coming, so we're preparing for that. I don't know how the winter's gonna look. Last winter was all right, so this will be worse. But you know, just pushing through. The weather here is usually pretty good, so I'm not really. I don't dislike the rain. I'm not someone who hates the rain.
You kind of get used to it.
Yeah, and you get used to it. It doesn't rain that much. It's cloudy and like overcast, but it's not like rain. It's cold, and then we get like these weird winter storms. Like windstorms.
Yeah.
Just super windy and super rainy. So we get a lot of that. But depending on the year, sometimes we get a bunch of snow, sometimes we don't.
We've had like flash flood warnings and stuff in this area. And then like the central southern area of New Jersey gets like bad. Like we get like torrential rain and all that. Last week it was pretty brutal. And this week has just been insanely hot. It's just like, God. It's a shit show. So you're my movie guy, man. How has it been? Have you been going back to the theaters? How does it feel?
Well, the difference is for our screenings, the studios can kind of do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of them, they're public screenings, so we'll get, you know, John Q Public in there to get their opinion, but sometimes they're not. Mm-hmm. So us press people, so that's few people we can space out. You know, they can control how many people they invite into the screening and don't. So it's not like if you're concerned about going to a screening and a movie and there's someone sitting next to you, like that's not a concern I have.
Right. Now,
I mask, so I feel super safe.
And you wear it the whole time in?
Oh, the whole time. I'm not playing around with these people. I don't trust these people.
Yeah. I don't like, yeah, dude, I don't like sitting by people. Like, I was like, The Protege, I want to see it, but I'm like, it's not that serious.
Yeah, you don't want to be on CNN on a ventilator. And I'm like, how'd you get COVID? You're like, The Protege.
I know.
It would just be sad. Like, damn, Chris got it from The Protege. It couldn't even
God damn. I could see, like, I don't know, something else. But it would have been better than Deadshot, though.
That would have been cold. That would have been sad to go out like
no,
that.
No, Bloodshot, I mean. Sorry.
Bloodshot. Yeah, I know. Bloodshot. That would have been sad.
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty bad. Lamorne Morris saved it, but. Yeah, that was the last one before. I love it so much, dude. Like I missed it. So I try to go when it's like off peak hours. I don't know what I'm going to do when Song Chi comes out next week. Well, this week, actually.
Yeah, this week. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Have you seen it yet?
I did see it, man.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than I would.
Did you think Marvel's good? Like Marvel's like. not falling off or anything?
Yeah, they're going to be okay.
Okay. All right.
That's they're going to be okay. I think they're going to be all right.
Yeah. I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do with that. If I can go to a maybe like a 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock screening or something, I'll see what I can do.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it. I just don't want a lot of people to be there. I'm just like, do not need it. But they've been, I saw Candyman last night and it was pretty low key. You know, not that many people there for 7 o'clock Thursday screening.
So. For me, that Candyman kind of speaks to why I enjoy going to the theater. Mm-hmm. It was this real communal experience. Like I walked in, saw a lot of Black women in my screening. It was like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
Yelling, going to be a lot of, girl, don't do that. It's like, I'm here for, give me all that. If I'm watching a horror movie, I want that experience, you know, with my people watching a film. So,
right. That's what I had with Respect. Mm-hmm. I saw that on a Sunday, like an advanced screening on a Sunday, middle-aged to elderly Black women, like looking like they were going to church.
Yeah. So, probably came from church.
Yeah. They probably came from church. And it was like, it was some good moments where they, you know, were, you know, really into it and everything. So that was fun. But even still, like I remember a time going to see, I think Traffic, Robin Thicke's ex-wife.
That movie's hilarious.
Yeah. I was trying to remember who.
You know what's so funny about that? Paul Patton. When they, so you know how old girl gets kidnapped halfway through the beginning of the movie?
Yeah.
She leaves the mansion. I don't know where she's walking to, right? She leaves the mansion in the middle of the night. When Paula Patton finds her when she's being trafficked or whatever, she's already like a full-fledged heroin addict. Mm-hmm. Like 5 hours. She looks strung out. I was like, that heroin is not fast acting.
Fast acting heroin.
Yeah, she just looks like it aged her. She's like she'd been doing heroin for months. Like, I remember laughing out loud when she, I was like, that's her? All right, you got it.
That's my man, Deion Taylor, man. You know what I can't wait for is Karen, the BET.
You're lying.
Oh,
you're
my dumb. God. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be fun, dude. You're going to have woke people mad. I'm going to be excited. If I can't wait. I don't know when it's coming out, but
yeah,
Karen Manning playing Karen. It's going to be fun.
So ridiculous.
Are there a lot of people? So what did you have like a theater closed down recently?
Yeah, man, we did Cinerama. It's like a big, amazing theater. We would show a lot of our Marvel movies there. Like they would do Harry Potter. It's a single screen theater, but it was state of the art. Had everything. Paul Allen's company owned it. The staff was great and shut down. I think they're putting high rises there now or something crazy.
Paul Allen is who?
He owned from Microsoft, but he owned the Seahawks.
That's what I thought. Okay, I was just making sure. Matt Microsoft.
Paul Allen, yeah.
I say it
because like people here just say his name all the time because we see it everywhere. We assume everyone knows who he is.
It took me. I knew he was a big deal, but I was trying to think how. And are people excited about the Seahawks this year?
People are, man. It's funny because there are a lot of fans who came on board during Legion of Boom and kind of new. So they're not used to like life without Russell Wilson or the team not being good or the defense not being good.
Right.
So it's new to them that you know, because I remember last year in the playoffs when they were playing the Rams and that backup came in, everyone thought it was a done deal. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, teams are good. Like you got to retool, you got to get better. So we'll see. I love watching Russell Wilson play. I love watching him out there. He's always been a cool dude. So
yeah. Do you get to go to a lot of games at all or?
No, hell no. They're expensive. I mean, yes, I can go. I choose to spend my money in other ways because they're expensive. There used to be a time I remember going to, I can say Michael Vick's name on this podcast, right?
Why wouldn't you be able to say, we said it last week.
That's right. Yeah, you're talking about him last week.
Yeah.
I was, I want to see Vic. He was with the Falcons.
Yeah.
Like, week of, I bought tickets in the 100 level. And I wasn't even making hella money back then. So I don't make hella money now. But I knew I was making less money back then.
Right.
And I was like, and I was able to afford to go. Now you couldn't do that. I'd be sitting in the bleeds trying to watch.
What are we talking? $80?
100? It had to have been 80 I paid for, 85. Yeah. Easy. Yeah. And me and the homie went and we watched Vic play and it was incredible. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is fun. But now it's like you can go to the games, but it's fun down there. Like that whole area down by the stadium, Pioneer Square, all that is great and it's fun on game day. And yeah, the crowd is lively and it is loud. It's as loud as you hear about from people in the stadiums when they're like, oh, you know, Booger McFarland's like, oh, it's loud down here. Like, it's loud.
The 12th man.
Yeah, it's a real thing. And it's fun to watch if you're watching, you know, like a Niners game, a Rams game, you know, mm-hmm. It's electric, man. There's nothing like it. So I try to go when I can, but not paying them prices, though.
I don't blame you. The only times I've gone since I've been here was I went with some family friends that we tailgated and they had decent seats. It was like when the Jets, I think the Jets had Mark Sanchez and T.O. was with the Bills because they were playing against the Bills.
Oh, I remember he was on the Bills. Gee.
Yeah, that weird year.
That was, I forgot about that.
He was good in Madden, though. I mean, he was still pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
My boss has like season tickets, so she had gave me season tickets to a Monday night game. That was insane.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. They played the Giants, played the Bengals. So, what's the kid that always gets hurt? The really good wide receiver, AJ Green.
AJ Green. What's AJ Green?
AJ Green played and Odell played. So it was good to see them that mm-hmm. match, like them going back and forth. It was a good game. It was fun.
Here, one of my good friends, she's a judge,
mm-hmm.
has access to a lot of things. She's awesome. But she, her and some of her friends put up on tickets for the Huskies.
Okay. Do they play there too?
No, they play. They play right by the school, so it's right off of Lake Washington. It's a beautiful view.
Okay,
brother, let me tell you. When that wind comes to that stadium, it's not a joke. That's the one thing I dislike about them games. If it's like a November game and it's just a little windy out, nah.
I don't blame you.
Her husband, like, hey, I don't like these games. Can you go? So I go to like a bunch of those games more than like, you know, NFL. And those games are fun, though. You end up seeing like, you know, if you're watching, I mean, gosh, the Pac-12 is not good that great anymore. But back in the day, you're seeing Reggie Bush. You're seeing, you know, those USC teams come mm-hmm. through here. I've seen a lot of talent come through. Beast Mode, when he was playing for Cal, like, he was running all through the Huskies, like, going to those games.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was fun.
I never been to a college football game.
I would recommend it, but I would recommend going to one of them Big Ten games, Big 12 games.
I was right down the street. Like Northwestern was right up the street from me. Technically, I should have.
Yeah, my guy Steve. Shout out to my guy Steve. I love him, man. Steve started his own iced tea company, man. Like I love that dude. He's a food scientist. But when he was in grad school for food science, he was at Ohio State. And he was like, yo, fly down and kick it. You'll love Ohio State. And we went down there. And Chris, it was they weren't even playing in Columbus that night. They were playing somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And it was insane just being in Columbus during an Ohio State football game. And I was like, there's nothing like this I've seen in my life. Pro mm-hmm. or anything. That kind of.
The pageantry and all that. Shit.
The only thing that matches it is when I went to WrestleMania.
Oh, wow.
That kind of like hysteria and like people dressed up and in it, like WWE's pay-per-view is the only thing that's ever matched it for me.
I believe it. I really believe it. I mean, I used to love college football. I just got disillusioned by it like years ago, but I still, you know, I still love seeing kids live their dream, get to the NFL, but I kind of have a cursory knowledge of it. Like I was like, oh, that guy's got he's a finalist for the Heisman. Good for him. Good for that kid.
Hope you get paid.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, all right. But yeah.
It's fun. Like I don't watch as much as I used to. Like I used to just watch on Saturday nights
mm-hmm.
or Saturday mornings, just up But I will watch, like, if there's a big game coming, I'll watch.
All those Pac-12 games over here on the East Coast, they would be, like, coming on at, like, 11 o'clock or, like, oh, man. But it'd be those – when you guys were good out there, it would be just super late. And I'd be like, oh, I'm going to watch.
Yeah, so true story. My dad was much like you, any black quarterback.
Yeah.
Vince Young, Cleo Lemon, Culpepper. Culpepper was his guy, but the guy who was his guy was Steve McNair. When Steve McNair died, had to call my dad.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the internet like that. He was like, wait, what? Like, dog, McNair died. He was hurt. He loved McNair. But I said that to say, so he would, like you, would fall asleep on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
He called me one day and he was telling me about how Vince Young was for sure the Heisman trophy. They got to give it to Vince Young. I said, you never seen Reggie Bush play. And he was like, nah, you know, old games come on late. I said, I need you to stay up tonight and just watch him play. Just one game. And it was a game where he had like 500 all-purpose yards.
Jesus.
It's crazy. I mean, was it Fresno State?
I don't remember. I don't know.
He went nuts. And my dad called me that Saturday morning, that next morning, and was like, that boy is the truth. He said he looked like Gale Sayers out there running around. Because he was never watching USC, didn't watch any of those games. He just was, you know, watching. He was in Jacksonville, so he was watching Florida all the time.
That's when I still kind of cared. That would have been like 05-ish, 06-ish. Yeah. I remember the game where they scored that Texas beat. Who did they beat in that national championship?
USC. In the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I remember that because me and my cousins, I was in town in D.C. and we went to Hooters in D.C. and watched it. And then we left. And then I got home and I ended up watching the end of it with my parents in their bedroom. That was insane.
Insane game. Like, there's games like that. Like, there's some crazy bowl games that I just love watching. And, you know, they're great, but
I don't feel it anymore. Is it because we're older?
We're older. I guess I think we're a little disillusioned. You're like, yeah, I know how Dabo talking all that talk he's been talking about. I don't think the players should play, you know.
Like, fuck you, Dabo.
Yeah. We're recruiting men and then Baylor can rape everybody. And it's like, I didn't see anything. Like,
I was just watching this show that came out called Titletown USA about this football team and the high school football team in Valdosta, Georgia. 8 episodes on Netflix, half hour long. I like plowed through that shit. It's so good. Like, you just rooting for those kids. That's when it's still kind of pure. But even then, the coaches have an ego and they're yelling. It's just like a junior version of Last Chance U. And it's more. And then sometimes they focus on the girls, like the love interests of some of the players and stuff. And it's pretty crazy. But I love that. That's the only reality TV that I really like, with the sports and the high school kids and all that shit, and college kids. So I wanted to ask, are you seeing more people at the theater, or are you just going to mainly the press screenings and stuff?
Mainly the screenings, but even there at theaters, so you'll see people, and I get a good sense from people I know. Who are asking me what they should see. When they start asking me, like, should I go see this? Then I had a feeling that people were going to the theater more.
Yeah.
Not a bunch, but more.
Right. I haven't seen not that many people have been talking about it too much. Just like my conversation with, like, you guys online and stuff. It doesn't seem like it's that many people. But, like, I know, like, the big, like, Marvel movies, people are going to come. So I think maybe I might wait a couple days before Shang-Chi comes out. That Friday, I have a show. I'm taking Friday off.
Go before the show.
I might do it if there's not a lot of people.
Me trying to tell you how to live your life. Chris, go before the show.
No, I listen. I'm not opposed to that. I may do that. But I know I'm excited to see that. And then, like, What have you been watching? Are there any, like, TV shows or things that you've been watching that you've liked?
That I've liked? I've been...
Your movies, anything?
A couple things. Like, I started watching two shows, brand new Cherry Flavor on Netflix.
I heard good things.
it's super weird. And that's, I think that's why it's just super off and like weird shit happens all the time. Interesting. And I started clickbait the other day.
Oh, with Adrienne Grenier.
Yeah, Adrienne Grenier. And what's that one girl? She's in all the Blumhouse films. She was like the maid in Get Out. She was in Upgrade.
Oh, click.
It's based on her sister's name, but yeah. She's good. She's
Eddie in it. Gabriel.
Yeah.
I love her. I love Zoe Kazan.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to watch Brand New Cherry Flavor. I love Rosa Salazar. So I got to watch that. So that's good.
That's good. That's yeah. Good.
Okay.
And then me and my friend Alexandra, we've been watching a bunch of horror films.
Okay.
Talking about them.
We want to get into that. What have you been watching?
All kind of crazy stuff. Like, she's not heavy in the horror, but we watched Hellfest, which is one of my favorite. You ever seen Hellfest?
No.
It's on Netflix. If you like slasher films, it's a good one. A guy shows up at this carnival, this like a horror-themed carnival, and he's killing people for real. He makes eye contact with this girl and is essentially stalking her the entire time and killing her friends and trying to kill her at the end.
Is Tony Todd's in it?
Tony Todd, yeah, he shows up in it.
Oh, so it's a 2018 movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's another one similar to Hellfest, but it's darker. It's called Bait. And Bait has a really cool poster with like these crazy clown mask on the front. But it's like a grimy movie. And they murder each other. Yeah, they're just murdering people. And they're trapped in like this crazy interactive Halloween fun house getting killed.
2019?
Yep, 2019.
Okay. Oh, before we get into our discussion on Candyman, I wanted to know what you thought of the Spider-Man Nowhere Home. What is it called? Is that it? What is it called?
No Way Home.
No Way Home. Shit, nowhere. You know, I put up a tweet the other night. I said, Spider-Man, love should have brought you home last night. I thought it was funny.
I thought that's funny.
Love should have brought your ass home last night. What did you think of it, Spider-Man?
I love a good trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them, man. I love a good trailer. But Marvel has a way of doing misdirects in all their trailers. They do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Infinity War's trailer had that shot when they're in Wakanda and everyone's running towards the fight. That's not in the movie. Hulk's never, like, we never get to see that version of Hulk. Like,
he was bitch made.
Yeah. And so, but it's this shot in the trailer where you're like, wow, not in the film. So, I'm interested to see what kind of misdirect they've done for this. Because, you know, we know they brought in villains from previous Spider-Man movies, from the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man and Andrew Garfield. And you're bringing the actors to play the villains.
Right.
And the characters, you're bringing in the people who played them. So we all know at some point we're getting the other two Spider-Man. Strange mentioned the multiverse. You're seeing very Inception style in the trailer, the world folding on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I'm going to cry like a baby when they show up on screen together.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I mean, he's my favorite superhero. I think it's going to be good. I'm going to do it December 17th.
Yeah, Christmas.
My mom's birthday.
And so I sometimes people can be too cool for stuff. Like, I appreciate about you is that you're not too cool to be like, I like something a lot.
But yeah. This
gives me joy. And we were talking the other day about films that do that for us. And I was recalling the very first Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw it super early. And I'm not trying to brag or anything, but because we saw it early, I had no expectation. I didn't know what to expect. I don't know if they were going to land it. I don't know if it was going to be weird. I mean, I liked their film, but it hadn't become that Marvel stamp yet. So we're in the theater, we're watching it. And it's the scene in New York where they all circle up and Cap starts giving people orders.
Mm-hmm.
Tells Hulk to smash. And I got legitimate goosebumps, bro. Like, I was sitting in the theater and I was like, oh shit. Like, they're doing something I'd ever seen in a film. And I'm looking and the people are into it. And afterwards, me, you know, they show Thanos at the end and me, four complete strangers were in the lobby like, they're not going to do Infinity War. Like, we're kind of excited, but half joking and half like, there's no way they're going to pull this off. And like, I remember that energy in the lobby was crazy. And I was like, this movie's going to if it's doing this to us, like people are gonna go nuts.
And were you with a bunch of critics?
Yeah, a bunch of critics and the homie Marcus. And we was both kind of like, was it that good or are we tripping? Like that.
Yeah.
Like, is this fire or we bugging out? But I like that kind of joy, man. I love that. Like, I love watching a show that's great and it brings you some kind of happiness and you can talk about it with other people and these weird communities. Like, you know, we'll get to Candyman later, but like, seeing a horror film with a bunch of horror fans is interesting because you're looking at someone and they've got this t-shirt and it's got Michael Myers on it with a knife and you know, like, hey, we like the same stuff.
Yeah, right, right.
There's spirit there, right? There's something, that's why I love going to Comic-Cons. There's something about that is just, I think that's what keeps us moving as people.
Yeah, it's a shared experience. It's a communal, like you said, like going to the movies and watching a good fun movie.
And there's things that connect us that are sad, right?
Yeah.
Was mourning somebody or someone's lost a loved one or someone, right? So we know what that feels like, but if you can connect on some good, positive energy, whether it be a wedding or whatever, and to me, film, movies, I think it goes through these layers where it's someone's idea and it's their artwork and it somehow ends up changing somebody's life.
Right.
I may have never been their intention. You know what I mean? They were like, yo, I have a cool story I wanted to write. I remember interviewing, what's my man's name who did The Exorcist? I'm spacing on his name.
Okay, I'll look it up.
He was telling me. I was telling him my dad never watched The Exorcist, so I've never watched it because he said it scared him. Oh, William Friedkin. That's his name. And he was like, people were calling him like a Satanist for making the movie. And he was like, I thought it was a dope story. That's where it stopped and ended for him. It was like, yeah, cool story. I can make this. And that was it. And then people ran with everything. So you could make something like, hey, I'm telling this really cool love story that could touch somebody in a way that, you know, and that's part of the communal experience. I love it. I love all of it.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I remember when I was in Chicago, it was right around the time where Spider-Man 3 came out. I organized a field trip after work to the IMAX at the Navy Pier.
Everyone's going.
And it wasn't that good.
Yeah. I mean, there are those moments where, like, I remember it was me, the homie Marcus, and Eddie, man. And Eddie, we were watching Transformers the last night. We were like, okay, they're bringing in Grimlock. I remember afterward, we both looked at each other. We was like, dog, we were so like, we did all this hype for this?
The first one was straight. Like, it was all right.
The first one is dope. And then that opening scene in Qatar is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're listening to this and you're laughing at me, go to your YouTube, put in Transformers, Qatar, bass, and watch that scene today and tell me it's still not dope.
It's been a minute since I've seen it, but like,
it's dope.
It, you know, it's just like people getting angry at that the Netflix He-Man or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think I was talking to Rod or the three guys on, there's doing three guys on podcast. And I was just like, I remember having the toys. Yeah. I don't remember no fucking storyline from He-Man or the Transformers like that to really be like invested in the lore of it. I just remember the action figures were cool. Yeah. And they had to make a story, a cartoon, to sell the fucking action figures.
That was it. But even for something like Transformers, I remember watching an interview before the first movie with Michael Bay, and he was saying certain things just wasn't a one-to-one from cartoon to film. It doesn't transfer well. Mm-hmm. So we had some things. His point was like, I can't have Megatron turn into a gun held by Starscream.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So we've got to figure other stuff out. And like, I thought that was interesting. I thought they put real thought and heart into it. And then later on, we got racist robots. And like,
yeah.
The robot tried to have sex with Sam Witwicky at one point.
Oh, shit. I don't think I
remember when he's in college and that girl's hitting on him. And then she's really like a Decepticon.
Oh, I don't know if I
in my head, I was like,
is that the third one?
Yes, it might have been the third one.
I don't know if I saw that all the way. I don't know.
In my head, I was like, why don't they all look like humans then if they can do this?
Bumblebee got me back, but Bumblebee I enjoyed. That was Bumblebee fun. Bumblebee was good. Yeah.
Bumblebee was solid.
Yeah, that fucked with that one. Yeah, but I don't take it too seriously, man. I try to enjoy stuff and
you got to.
Yeah.
I said I'm sorry to go on a rant and ramble about that, but
no, that's what we do on the show.
I have to say, it's okay to look at the Spider-Man trailer and be excited for it.
Oh, are people trying to hate on it now?
No, but just people are too cool about it. No, I wonder, what if they don't do this? And you're nitpicking and you're doing videos of 82 Easter eggs. It's not 82 in here. Like, relax.
Oh, but people do that all the... Yeah, people do that. But that means they're excited. Like, the dude, heavy spoilers on YouTube. Yeah,
he's into it.
He loves the shit because he's been like... For weeks, he's been like, when are they going to release the trailer? They got to, he's just excited about that shit.
Yeah.
I like following people that are excited as I am, and it makes me more excited.
Speaking of trailers,
oh, what were you going to say? You saw something that you liked?
Did you read about the Matrix trailer?
No, is it out?
No, it's not out yet, but they showed it at CinemaCon and it sounds intense.
Okay. I thought the Matrix was cool, but you know, when my friends in college, so that was like 1999, like spring of 99, right? Mm-hmm. I remember my friends went to go see the Matrix and I went to see a little film called Go.
Go's not bad.
No, I love Go. They called it like a Pulp Fiction Junior or something like that.
It looked like Pulp Fiction, all like hyper colors, and like mm-hmm. Pulp Fiction is a very muted film, and like most Tarantino films. And
yeah, I saw it because like Katie Holmes
colors and
I think that might be Doug Liman's second film, I want to say.
Wow.
But I saw it because Katie Holmes was in it and I enjoyed it. My friends were like, you're going to see that.
Like, but I like Katie Holmes.
I was like, I'm seeing Katie, dog.
I thought, you know, what's funny, the Matrix was like one of the last really big movies pre-internet where there wasn't a bunch of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a movie it's funny because it's a storyline that includes the internet in a crazy way. But
it was his third. Sorry. Go was his third.
So we knew nothing about the Matrix.
No.
And we went in and I remember being like the opening scene being like, what is this? Like, because you don't know what the agents are. You don't know what Trinity is. And you're watching this. You're like, is she the bad guy? Like, it's unclear for like a minute. And then you're like, right. Oh, okay.
No, it's dope. I rock with it. I own it on DVD. I don't have the others. I don't have the other two.
And the Matrix analogy is something I use often to talk to my white friends about racism.
How do you do that?
It's the scene in the Matrix where Neo freaks out. When Morpheus tells him what the Matrix is,
mm-hmm.
and they tell him, we don't pull people out this late because it's hard to change their minds. The brain can't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he wakes up, he asks Morpheus, is this real? He says, I can't go back. And Morpheus says, would you want to? And I tell my wife friends all the time, like, that's kind of it. Like, once you learn this ugly truth about racism in the country, it's going to mess with your head.
Hmm.
I'm going to want to not know about it. Would you not want to know about it? You know what I mean? Like, would you want to go back to not knowing? Because now you're forced, like Neo, you're forced to do something about this thing.
Right.
Now,
once you see what's going on. Yeah.
You're forced to handle it.
And what do they say?
They usually say nothing. And like, talk to him about racism again.
And then you look at him differently.
Nah,
you've managed to keep white friends during the pandemic, huh?
You know what? In Seattle, I think, if they're doing some undercover MAGA stuff, I don't know about it. But mostly, people are pretty cool. You end up having like I was trying to explain, you know, the kid in D.C. who was killed the other day, surrounded by the cops. He's sleeping in his car. They wake up. He's driving off. They shoot him 10 times or shoot him in the car 10 times and kill him. But trying to explain to my white friends, and the thing was like, man, he shouldn't be driving away. Like, hey, man, he could be driving away with an entire meth lab in his car. Like, there's no reason to pull out your gun and shoot him. Like, trying to explain because often they find themselves giving police, giving other racist white people the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Like, just giving to them instead of like, yeah, maybe the person is just a racist or maybe the person just doesn't like, but like, that's the thing. Because I was explaining to someone the other day, I was like, why do you think of a police like that? They're just people who took a job.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like inherently good people.
To them, they are.
Yeah, I was just like, they're people with a job, and their job is policing, and they can't seem to separate the two. Like, you got the badge on, all of a sudden you're, you know, either somewhere between Gomer Pyle or Jesus, and you're always going to do the right thing. It's just not.
It's always like it's a paradox to me. Well, you know, they were created to keep us in check.
Yes.
And there's.
So if you don't feel good of that all the time, I can imagine not feeling like it's that big of a deal.
Yeah. I could tell you something off mic, but it's just like. I don't know. It's like Chris Rock said in Tambourine, you can't afford to have bad apples who are cops who are bad apples. Like you can't afford to do that. It's like if you're a pilot and you have a pilot that's a bad, you know, it's just one where you know, but everything's going to be, when man is involved, it's going to be flawed, but we know that that is a part of the system to impede us.
Yeah.
You know, they're built to really tear us down.
Yeah.
And I'm always wary of them. Some are good, they're good people, and some are trying to do their job. And you know, yeah, I have to tell you a story that happened this week that I'll say keep it off mic because I don't want to get in trouble. Let's get to Candyman. The reason why I wanted you on here. I'll do like we always do. I'll read the blurb. Find it. I thought I had it put up. I did. Okay. I always like to read the Google blurbs here. Okay, here we go. You can't hear my neighbor playing his shitty rap music, can you? Can you hear it? Okay, good. All right. I don't know. Sometimes this, I don't know what is, anyway.
Is it good music?
No, it's not at all. It just makes you hate. It kind of makes me hate rap. I don't even know if what he's listening to is rap because I listen to good rap music. I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't know what it is. It's so fucking, okay. All right. One day we can maybe that we'll be doing this via Sirius XM Studios or some shit.
Yeah, we'll do it.
God willing, one day. In present day, a decade after the last Cabrini Towers were torn down, Anthony and his partner move into a loft in the now gentrified Cabrini. A chance encounter with an old timer exposes Anthony to the true story behind Candyman. Anxious to use these macabre details in his studio as fresh. What the fuck is this blurb?
Yeah,
what is studio this? As fresh grist for paintings. He unknowingly opens a door to a complex past that unravels his own sanity and unleashes a terrifying wave of violence. This movie is directed by Nia DaCosta, not Jordan Peele. It's Nia DaCosta. Okay, everybody. Jordan Peele helped produce it. He co-wrote the script with her and another bloke. What are your overall thoughts on this, Tim?
I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I'm a big horror fan. I love the original one from 92. I thought the cast was great. I thought Coleman Domingo and what's the guy who plays her brother?
Yahya Abdul. Oh, her brother?
Yeah.
Nathan Stewart. Does he have a duplicate name? Nathan Stewart Jarrett.
Yeah. He was still in every scene he was in. He was hilarious. Yeah.
Black people should not be summoning things.
Yeah. It was funny. Like,
yeah.
I like that running gag of, like, you know, Tiana Paris, who played Brianna, and her brother being like, why would anyone do that? Like, why would you summon Candyman? Like, they don't understand why people would even play with that.
Right, right. I don't even want to say it. I don't know if I got cast in that movie, would I say the shit?
Like, can we just edit this together? I say it like a couple times.
Yeah, you just, yeah, fuck that.
And Tiana Paris, she's great.
Oh, yeah.
Glad more people, you know, obviously WandaVision helped.
Mm-hmm.
Being her talents, man. She's real solid.
She's been doing it for a minute, man. She's great.
First time I saw her was Dear White People.
Yeah.
Was the Mad Men? Let's see that Mad Men first.
Let's see. I know she did Chirac, but I think that came later.
Chirac was way later.
Yeah, let me look at her IMDb. I'm looking at some short stuff. The Good Wife she did in 2010. How Do You Know? CSI. I think that was probably her first. Dear White People seems to be
her first
big one. She did something called A Picture of You, which looks like a movie, a small art house movie.
But Colman Domingo, man, that guy,
he's fucking fantastic. His incredible voice. Bro. He's so good. It's like, fuck you, dude. Why are you that good? The way his delivery, Candyman. You know, he's great.
But even in the third act, like where his kind of switches a little bit.
Yeah.
Even then, that's interesting. I'm like, that's an interesting choice to make him do that, but it was creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is fucking creepy.
I liked it too. I gave it 3.5 stars on Letterboxd. I'm not as big of a horror fan as you, and I'm used to going to movies based on the white girl that's in the movie. Is where I usually check it out. Yeah, who the it girl is at the time when she's making her transition to from doing now it would be a CW show into doing like Elizabeth Olsen did it. She did Marcy May Marlene indie movie. Then she did Silent House with that pretend to be one shot all, you know, and then she's now a movie star.
Who's your new it girl?
Who's the new it girl?
Yeah.
Who do I like?
Yeah. Who's your new? If you were like this young white starlet.
Young white starlet. I would say Haley Lou Richardson is one because she was in Columbus. She's like early 20s. I would say I'm just interested in seeing a lot of what she does. Florence Pugh is really good.
Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney is like the new prime white starlet.
Euphoria. What am I missing?
White Lotus.
Yeah.
She did an Amazon Prime movie, like one of those Blumhouse joints, which was okay. But then she's got some movie called Voyeurs coming out in a couple weeks that seems to be, I haven't seen a trailer, but I will be watching. I will be watching her.
Good.
And she did this indie movie that was okay called Clementine.
Yeah, that was her in that.
Yeah, kind of like a weird like a weird ass movie that I thought was gonna be better.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was just like, ooh, Sydney Sweeney's in it. I'll rent this. They got me a lot. They got me a lot this past year and a half. Like I was just willing to give anything a shot because I wasn't in the theater, but I like this. I like seeing black people in a movie like this. I love the cinematography, and you will appreciate this because the cinematographer did one of our favorite movies. Oh my God, where is he? John Gussel Ryan.
What did he do?
He shot Like Crazy.
Oh, I love that movie.
He shot About Time.
Wow, those are two
movies that we really like.
I love those films.
Yeah, he shot the new movie, He's All That, I guess the She's All That remake that just dropped this past week. So I mean, it looked beautiful. I loved how it looked. I love how the black people look in the movie. I like the social commentary. So what, I don't know, how do you want to do this? We want to just talk about this Yahya Abdul-Mateen plays this guy, Anthony McCoy, who's a visual artist living in Chicago, and they've gentrified this Cabrini Green. I remember when I lived in Chicago from 2002 to 2007, and I worked in what used to be Cabrini Green, like near that area. It was the North and Clyburn stop off the Red Line. I used to work at the Best Buy. And even at that time, they had a Whole Foods. They had the Best Buy. They had like some other shops and stuff like that. They threw up a bookstore. I think it might have been a Borders Books at the time or Barnes & Nobles or something. And it was getting gentrified. And even now, even the neighborhood where I lived in used to be a hood before I got there. And by the time I left in 2007, there was literally a Whole Foods next door to my apartment.
Wow.
Yeah. And so like the Lakeview area in Chicago, like on Waveland and Halsted. So there's gentrification. What really bugged me is that the homie Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips sent me in one of our text chains a tweet that I sent you about somebody's review. And I don't want to shit on I'm not going to name the person or give her the light, but it was just like, just the critiques that they were making, that this woman was making. It was just like, it's a slasher movie.
It's a supernatural dude with a hook hand murdering people based on an urban legend. Like,
yeah. And it's like, and they didn't know Breonna Taylor was going to get murdered even when they were making this movie. I mean, Tiana Paris' character's name is Breonna, but the say her name thing, like I think they were trying to refer to like Sandra Bland and all this negative stuff, when it's just why can't we have the same movies like white people have? Why can't we have horror movies and infuse some social commentary in it? I didn't mind them talking about gentrification here.
It's in the first movie.
Yeah, it was in the first movie. And the lead of the first movie was kind of trying to do, and she kind of had her comeuppance in a way with her ego trying to, I'm just going to have this great story and use these. I'm going to do Gorillas in the Mist, but I'm going to fucking Cabrini Green and I'm going to report on these niggas like that, you know. So it's like they kind of get their comeuppance, and the Anthony character, his ego got in the way, and that kind of led to his downfall in a lot of ways.
Well, I will say, you know, to your point, I think, you know, going back to your conversation you had with Howard Bryant, which is great. Okay. You guys should listen to that.
Thank you, sir.
Where some black athletes have to be all things, mm-hmm. and it's to them. And I think because we have these black creators in this space, right, we got, you can name them, right? You got Barry Jenkins and Jordan Peele, and I got Nia DaCosta, right? Mm-hmm. And these films don't have to be all things to all people.
Right.
Just be a horror film.
Right.
And be that. And because it feels like we're lacking in black creativity on that level, that every black film has to mean something to the culture. It has to be something. It doesn't have to be. It can just be a horror film.
Yeah, and I felt like it. They didn't have to shit. A lot of black critics didn't like Lovecraft Country, and it's their opinion. But it just seems like, okay, that was last year, and you're gonna take shots at Jordan Peele again because you didn't like Lovecraft Country. And I don't know, man. It just makes me angry. It just keeps like, can we enjoy anything? I don't know. That just constantly frustrates me, because every time we have something, and here you have a black woman with like a big time. She did Little Woods in what, 2018?
2018, yeah.
And like a really small art house indie flick. Mm-hmm. And now she gets the chance to do I would call this a sequel. Yeah, a sequel to a popular film that I guess was it popular off the rip in 1992?
Yeah, it was popular off the rip.
And I watched this movie. I don't think it was that great. It was all right.
It's a very 1990s, early
90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bleak as fuck. Like, it was, because I watched it this week. I don't think I had ever seen it.
There's like little to no humor in it.
Yeah.
Like, it never really lets up. It's kind of just this murder to murder to murder. I'm like, this is, you can't even breathe in this joint.
Yeah. It's desolate, and it, you know, it made Cabrini Green look, it made it look really bad. And, yeah, and it was just like the way that the black men were like, hey, bitch, heard you looking for Candyman.
You looking for Candyman, bitch.
Yeah, it's just like, come on, man. And a white guy directed that and wrote and directed it. I don't know.
It's, I will say, speaking of direction, that shot where that scene when
we're spoilers for Candyman 2021. We're gonna spoil this.
We'll spoil it. We'll spoil all the Candyman movies. When he goes to visit the critic.
Yes.
That whole sequence has everything I like about it, right? It's got this weird tension where someone's just alone in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Anthony alone in the living room and she's in the bathroom alone. Now, what I love about that scene was is when she gets up, he's daring her to do it, to say Candyman's name in the mirror 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
We see her in the bathroom and we don't see what happens. Cut to Anthony, who's picking out his hand, which is super gross. There's a lot of body.
That's like one of the grossest things in the film.
He wraps his hand up. He's in the hallway. He sees Candyman's reflection in the mirror. It looks like he's looking at himself and he's seeing Candyman. It's sort of like this sort of miming thing that's going on in the mirror. It's super interesting. And you don't know if someone's going to jump through the mirror. You don't know what's happening. It's kind of intense. And then the critic comes up the bathroom. And as she's talking to him, one of the tricks that I love that the film does is you just see Candyman's reflection in the mirror. Like, as he's talking to her, you see Candyman's kind of peeks around the corner and dips his head back in. And then Anthony leaves, and it's a shot from outside the building, and you're looking into the critic's apartment, and you see her being murdered as the camera pulls away.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic sequence. I was
it's amazing.
Sleek. I love it.
You know, it reminded me of like one of those last scenes in Zola.
Yes.
How the camera was like that, that wide shot pulling back. Yeah. A crane shot.
Yeah.
Like pulling back, and you could see that. And it was like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like it, and you don't really see all the, I guess you do see some, do you see some blood in there?
Yeah. When she hits the window.
It's crazy, dude. Yeah, that was sick. And, you know, even another shot, that establishing shot when he's on that bridge, walk going to her place.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Yeah.
How it's just like, this is an establishing shot. But then Anthony is walking into it. I was like, that's fucking great. That's a beautiful shot.
They used to do that a lot in the 70s.
Yeah.
In the 70s, we have these establishing shots of the scene. It zooms in very quickly on like somebody with bell bottoms and afro. Like, that's the main character.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was dope.
Columbus did that too recently, 2017. Colganada. I can't wait till his new shit drops. I can't wait to see that new shit. But man, it was a lot of really cool things in it. And I enjoyed it, man. I thought one thing though, I thought like I was kind of, I guess maybe the characters were just so fully fleshed out in a lot of ways to me, the Tiana Paris character, Brianna, how it showed her trauma too, like losing her dad.
I thought that was going to go somewhere.
I did too. And then
his work drove him crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, okay, so she's drawn to these men who are these artists that are like her dad.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's kind of obvious that she would date a guy like Anthony who's driven like that. Mm-hmm. Even though I thought they were going to do more with that, but it was still, it was, and then I think, maybe it's just like they were interesting. It was interesting how they showed that. Mm-hmm. And that was enough. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was enough, but
maybe it's a longer cut of the film out there, right? Because this is just 90 minutes.
Yeah.
A longer cut that kind of goes deeper into that. We might learn more about Coma Domingo's character.
Right.
You know, there could probably be a lot there.
Because they show his sister.
Yeah.
And they show even him. So it's like those are the three main characters. It was
good, man.
Yeah. Is it what do you think that is, man? We can't seem to enjoy these collectively as a because you're a critic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, what is it with the Black community? Does it simply just fall under the umbrella of because of slavery that we can't enjoy the supernatural movie fun shit?
I think, because of slavery, and I'm not even being funny, but because of slavery and because of, the slave trade, we've had to sort of put together our own culture here. And I've heard plenty of people talk about that. And it's so true. Randolph Terrence has talked about it on Three Guys On a few times. To put together our own culture. But I think because of that, we're very protective of it at times.
Right.
And we can be very much like, chickens in the hen house, just like making sure everything is, don't mess with what I have. And people feel like sometimes that they're protective of this thing that they think it is. So we show up at these events. We show up at Candyman. We show up at Black Panther. We show up at with these perceived ideas of what something should be and how it should speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
Without letting it actually speak to you. You're just like, this is how it should speak to me. If it doesn't fit that, then something's wrong.
Right. Did you find yourself liking in the characters? Who did you like? Did you like Anthony?
I did, but I liked his journey. I didn't like him.
Right.
And more so, I liked how Yaya plays him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, you can be attractive and like charming and like a good actor. And like, you need a fault. You need, and he's tall.
It's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, dude. I hope he's, I don't know.
Cause I like the scene where he finds
out. Maybe he's like not athletic. Maybe that's it. No, he's probably an amazing athlete. But I love his transition. And my favorite is like towards the middle and the end when he's trying to tell Brianna what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
He has this weird, like, emotional moment.
Yeah.
Like, thing with his hand that people do when they're, like, about to cry. And it was dope. Like, oh, he's having... It was like a subtle thing. I love that scene. And then he's talking to his mom.
Vanessa Williams looked fucking great.
She looks the same.
She looks better than she did in 92.
She looked great.
And she wasn't looking bad back then.
Did you know that he was the boy?
I kind of, when I saw her, I was like, oh, okay.
I figured that from the beginning. I was like, oh, he's the baby.
He's a baby from the 92 movie. Yeah.
So there's that scene. And at the end, at the very, very end, when he comes in, when he comes out of the whatever abandoned thing it is, I just think he was great, man. That dude. He's about to do Aquaman 2, and he's got some film he's making that sounds interesting. He's going to be in the new Matrix.
I like that scene where they find out that the art dealer, that he got killed, and he's watching the news, and it's just that close up on him, and he's like, and you could just see everything like wash over his face, like they mentioned me. And then they cut to Brianna and her brother, and they're like, "Are you fucking?"
Kidding? I'm like, "What the fuck is wrong?
Like, what is your problem, dude?"
Because I mean, it's a tragedy, but like,
yeah, because it's like that shows you like he is just like the Virginia Madsen character in part one, where it's just like, "I'm gonna show these motherfuckers."
Yeah, I'm obsessed with my work.
Obsessed, yeah, like the Helen Lyle Virginia Madsen character. So it's like, If you weren't ego tripping so hard, maybe you would have realized you shouldn't have opened up this fucking portal.
And now you're like, oh shit, I fucked up.
And you fucked up. So it's like that's the mistake that this character makes, like all of the lead characters in horror movies, for the most part, make that pride, that arrogance, that I call it. It's mainly when white people do it, like my man that did Ex Machina. What's his name? What's my man's name?
Dom Hughes.
No, Alex Garland.
Yeah, I love Alex Garland.
That's like he does these like Icarus movies, like white people flying too close to the sun and they get burned.
Like literally in sunshine.
Yeah, and sun exactly, which is a great movie. And it's just like, okay, you should fucking chill and get some inspiration from somewhere else. Right. Or just don't take it as far as you took it. But he does, and we get this movie. So yeah. I just thought it was interesting. And I thought like the ending, I was like, okay, if he's going full, because it was part of me that didn't want him to make that full transformation. I was kind of bummed out about, you know, because I.
But you knew it was coming.
Oh, yeah, I knew it was coming.
But you see his arm was all fucked up.
Yeah, he was done.
He was done.
But at the same time, I was like, okay, if you're going to show these cops, Candyman's got to take care of him.
Yeah.
He's got to help Brianna out. So I was like, okay, you got to kill these fucking cops.
And it bookends the beginning of the movie is Candyman being killed by the cops.
Right, right.
And it ends with these cops being killed by Candyman.
Yeah. So he kind of becomes a superhero of sorts.
Part of it is like, I want to ask you this. So Coleman Domingo's character, like, what's his motivation at the end? Like, why is he obsessed with turning Anthony into Candyman?
I guess
cops with that white voice.
Say that again.
He's on the phone. He has to use like a white voice when he calls the cops.
So he's almost like a Mr. Glass.
Yeah.
For some reason, dude, the fact that you just mentioned that. And while we were talking, I was thinking of that image, that opening sequence where that kid, I like that kid. He kind of reminded me of that character in, I want to get his name because I like to say these say the actors' names here. It reminded me of the beginning of Unbreakable. Or that where we meet the Mr. Glass character anyway, at least. Trying to see if I can find Rodney L. Jones III. What else was he in? I'm trying to see what else he was in. I think he was in Fargo. That's why I remember him from.
Yeah,
Fargo. So he's a Chicago kid. So yeah, he was in Chicago Fire, The Shy. Okay, so Fargo was he was in Lovecraft too. Anyway, kid's really good. And it just reminded me of that. So it's almost like I need to bring this together so I can feel complete.
Mm-hmm.
If I get this to happen, if I get this guy back, make him Candyman, then I'll be at peace.
Yeah.
Because he's got a lot of pain too if he saw his sister get killed or witness her getting fucked up. What did you think of the hand puppets?
That was interesting. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this was a good movie. I really did.
I did. I dug it too. I thought it was fun. It's not too scary.
No, it wasn't.
And they do a lot of like off screen stuff, right? There's a lot of like the bathroom scene with the girls at the college.
Do you think what did you think of that?
It was funny because the Asian girl was out of there.
We just gotta fucking kill some young people, right?
Yeah, gotta kill some young people. That's part of, you know.
Yeah. Trying to think what else. Was it anything? What would you rate this? What would you like out of star on a star rating?
Five star rating? I'd give it like a 4.
Okay. I'm trying to think why I didn't give it 4, but it was just kind of like, I don't know. Go ahead.
The script was kind of clunky at times.
Yeah. In what ways did you think it was clunky?
Just the story, not necessarily meshing. I think they just try to cram a lot into 90 minutes.
Because it's almost like I was thinking when I was thinking of a movie that I liked that had a lot of axes to grind, but they did it. It was more ham fisted.
Yeah.
Spike Lee She Hate Me.
Yeah. She Hate Me is one of them.
Yeah. It's like where you got all these good themes and interesting things that you're trying to put in. It's like, I dig it and I like what you're doing, but it's like, you could just whittle this down. I didn't feel encumbered, or I didn't feel uncomfortable, or it didn't bother me with some of the lines that they had where that it bothered this woke lady on that critic, where she was saying like, oh, they like our stuff, but they don't like us. Yeah. I didn't mind that. Like it's, you know,
it's fine.
Yeah, it was like, they like us, but they like our art, but they don't like us. It's like,
when he's telling the story of Candyman, like, you know.
Yeah. It's like the pretentiousness of the art world, and
yeah,
you know, it mirrored a lot of what the 92 movie was doing. But yeah. you just had like those same type of people in education.
And even Colman Domingo's character talking about the cycle of abuse in the communities. It's the same thing over and over again.
But I wonder, why are Black people getting fucked up like that? Why are Black people just getting killed? Like Candyman, I don't know. Is he?
The curse is if you say his name.
Don't say his name, you won't get fucked up. That's true. Yeah, that's a dumb question. What did you think of the critic where she was talking about? I thought it was interesting that the critic was like, yeah, you artists are coming into you're coming into the city and you're doing your art and you're, you know, kind of like profiting up. You know, that the first time we meet her, I thought that was pretty interesting. I liked that sequence. She didn't like him at first, and
the murders are happening.
Yeah, and then she's like, "Oh, your shit is really, it's good." But that's how people are.
And the same thing happened to Brianna when they had her come in for that job.
Yeah,
they wanted more of his stuff because it was, you know, in lieu of everything, they thought it was interesting.
Yeah, shows you how fickle people can be,
and people just profiting off of death. Like,
yeah. I could just see it had a lot in it. And I don't think it was like ham fisted or anything. I don't think it's like Randolph. We're mentioning Randolph Terrence again, where it's just like the art during this Trump era, whatever this era is, the art created is going to be dope as fuck.
Yeah.
And you really, you know, and that's just one aspect of it. And it's a genre that I don't think that we really appreciate that much. I mean, people like you do, you love it. Yeah. And I, you know, I dabble in it. I don't mind any of the genres at all. Yeah. It's just, I'm just concerned with the story that they're telling. Are you telling me a good story? Like, I saw that movie Freaky. And I was like, oh, it's pretty good. It's pretty funny. It's really violent. It's extremely violent, but interesting nonetheless. I mean, it was entertaining, you know.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, body swap murder film.
Yeah, I remember what's the Megan Fox movie, Jennifer's Body.
Yeah,
I remember a movie like that being pretty fun. The woman who wrote Juno, Diablo Cody. Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting, you know. And we can do these movies. We can do it all, Tim.
Yeah,
I don't see why we should just be limiting ourselves to. I don't know what I just don't know what some of these people are looking for.
I also think horror films have always been political, whether it's, you know, a whole zombie film or whatever, but even like the Purge movies.
Yeah.
Like, they're super political films. Like,
right.
I don't know if you watched any of them.
I've seen quite a few.
Yeah.
I thought they were cool. You know, it was cool.
Yeah. I mean, you got horror films that talk about the horrors of nuclear war. Like, that's nuclear fallout has happened and like the world's bent and they're doing these political things, or Night of the Living Dead and the last dude's black and the cops shoot him anyway. Like,
yeah.
So you can, you know, in this time, in this Trump era, you can take interesting horror things and make interesting political takes or speak from your perspective or speak to what's happening in the world in a fun way. And we're going to see someone with Why the Last Man, although it's not a horror film. But look, The Last Man's Alive on Earth is coming to FX in a couple of weeks.
I haven't seen the trailer yet, but I've seen that's getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah, so you can get a lot of information out in an interesting way with horror films.
Yeah, I thought Get Out, obviously people, I mean, what would you call Get Out? Was that a thriller?
That's a horror film.
Horror, okay. Yeah, I can see. You know, because that, to me, that was reminding me of Disturbing Behavior.
Yeah.
You know, like that was kind of like, you know, that came from a dude that was directed by David Nutter, who did like X-Files, you know, and it was like, what are these people that get, you know, their mind, the Blue Ribbon Club, and they're different from what they used to be and all that stuff. It's an interesting thing. And it's just like, OK, I'm not going to take this too seriously. Us, I thought, didn't get enough credit. I thought Lupita, she was doing two roles. She should have gotten at least
one.
She should have won, but she could have at least gotten nominated. But why do people not take that genre seriously? Because three of the best female performances in recent years, to me, Lupita in Us, Florence Pugh in Midsommar, and what's my girl?
I'm looking at it right now in Hereditary. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at Hereditary DVD. Like,
oh my God, what is her name? Oh my God, what is wrong with me? I'm thinking of the way Brandon Collins mispronounces her name.
Why can't I? Where is it? Oh.
Oh my God, Chris.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's buried somewhere. No. Jesus, I'm looking at it. I thought it was right there.
Toni Collette.
Jesus, that's what it is.
She was great, you know. So it's just, why do they get left out during award season?
I don't know. I think they have, well, at least the voters, right? We're talking about the voting, mm-hmm. Body. You know, these are people who certain types of films are Oscar films to them, and other types of films just aren't.
Right.
If you're gonna do a movie about slavery and somebody survived, Oscar film. You're dealing with someone maybe special needs and struggling through life, that's an Oscar film. Set in Victorian time, you're getting an Oscar film. You're covering some old white musician who died.
Yeah.
It's all of these things. But although our palette as film goers has expanded, their viewpoint hasn't. Right. So you're getting these great performances in these MCU films. You're getting these great performances in horror films. In romantic comedies, and they're just in sci-fi films. They don't see them as Oscar films. It's every now and then we'll get a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Every now and then we'll get that, but that's not. They don't look at those films the same. Like you watch Hereditary, you're like, Toni Collette was incredible in it.
She killed that shit.
But TV does it. Like TV, they'll give awards to, you know, American Horror Story or. Mm-hmm. TV's caught up to like, hey, these performances are fantastic. But I think, you know, I think as the voting body changes for the Academy, we'll start to see some of that.
Yeah, because they say it's changing. And then you look at the awards last year, it's just like this earlier this year. It's like, ew.
Yeah, it's kind of more of the same.
Ooh. Yeah, it's just like I had the brothers from Medium Popcorn on. We did a live stream for the Oscars.
Yeah, I listened to that.
It was just like they were like, I don't know if I'm going to watch this anymore. And I was like, I get it. I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for them. Like otherwise I would just be on Twitter. I'd probably be watching something else and then just had Twitter on to see who won. But otherwise I really don't give a shit. But that Anthony Hopkins performance in The Father was just like, we talked about it. It was just like, that motherfucker.
He killed it.
He killed that shit. Chad had that next level monologue. you know, but it's just like, like, all right.
Yeah, it wasn't, it didn't feel like a travesty. It was like,
right. If you saw the movies, like if you watched the fucking movies, you would know, but
you would know. Yeah, most people, I think, aren't. That's the thing. We watch these movies so we know, like, oh yeah, of course you won. It was, like when Riz Ahmed got, when I saw Sound of Metal, I was like, oh, Riz Ahmed's gonna get nominated for everything. He was.
That's the first thing I saw. I think out of that bunch, I believe that's the best actor bunch. I think we talked about this. That was the first thing I saw, and I was just like, ooh. It was the first time in a while, from what I can remember, where the best actor category was stacked. It's usually the best actress category that's not as stacked. That best actress category that is stacked, rather.
Like, if you think about Ex Machina, which is one of the best films I saw that year, like, where are all the awards for it? Incredible performance.
Sci-fi.
It's sci-fi, right?
They don't care, dude.
They don't care. They'll give them technical awards, right? You'll get sound set design, sound mixing, costume, maybe a adapted screenplay, maybe. But they're not none of the big hardware. They're not going to get supporting. You're not going to get any of that.
Yeah. It's just it's weird, man. I guess that's why we got to keep just talking about the shit that we like, you know, when we like it. I think there's a space for us, because, I mean, it was just, I feel better about this year with the stuff I've seen. Yeah. I just gambled. Like, I look at the stuff that I watched, you know, I started subscribing. I'm on this Letterboxd app, and it's that this interface is pretty cool, because you just get to keep track of all the stuff you watch, and it's just like, have you seen Werewolves Within?
Yeah.
What a fun movie.
What's in, your girl's in it from the AT&T commercials.
Yeah. Milana Vantrub or whatever.
Yeah.
Funny.
Funny movie.
Yeah.
Man, who's the lead in? What's his
name? Sam Richardson.
He's great in it, man.
Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Well, Tim, what, you got any more thoughts on this Candyman?
See it if you can. It's around the corner. You know, it's going to be a lot of scary movies coming out. Amazon's got their 4 Blumhouse ones they're doing this year. Did last year. So this is just the start. So this is but I think there's going to be more interesting horror coming soon. So
what do you think about that Friday the 13th? Did you see that trailer? The Jason movie, whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, Halloween.
Okay, there you go.
Wow, I can't believe you did that. My guy, man. The first Halloween, 70...
Mike Myers, sorry.
Michael Myers, he'll kill you. He doesn't kill black people, though. I noticed that.
It looked like he's about to kill some in this one.
He almost killed this little black boy last time. He got away.
Okay, all right.
My favorite scene is... it was from the Halloween a couple years ago.
I need to see that one.
Babysitter's getting demolished, right?
Yeah.
He comes upstairs. He's like, oh, shit. As he's running out, her boyfriend's coming in. He tells him to his face, if you go up there, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time we see that little black kid.
Oh, shit.
He's out. No, he lives. He's gone.
Okay, he did. Okay.
Oh, he leaves the house. The boyfriend obviously gets murdered. He didn't listen to the kid.
So I need to watch that before. Is that a direct sequel?
Yeah. It's a direct sequel from the first one. Because the actual Halloween 2 is a direct sequel, because she's in the hospital and he shows up at the hospital murdering people in the hospital.
Okay. But this is
supposed to be a direct sequel from the original. Years later, he's been locked up the whole time. They caught him at some point later on that night. Because at the end of the first one, he gets up. When Loomis looks over the balcony, he's gone. So in this one, they caught him later on. And he's been locked up this whole time, and then he escapes.
Is he supernatural?
He's pure evil, according to Dr. Loomis.
And whatever. That's it.
Yeah, he can survive anything.
Okay. Well, I will check that out.
That's my jam.
There's one I'm excited about, the Antlers.
That looks creepy, bro.
Only because Carrie Russell's in it. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but she's like this weird kid's teacher, and I guess she's helping out, worried about the kid. Yeah. So I will be watching that. That's coming out like late October.
Yeah, that's coming out. It got delayed. It's supposed to come out a while ago.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out last year.
Yeah.
Well, there's something else I wanted to ask you. And then I'll let you go. What do you think about the movies? I noticed, so Respect came out not that long ago. Now it's on demand. Now you can rent it for $20.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I get it. They're trying to, you know, get their little theater time in, and then they're hoping it's, you know, it's got to run a theater for a short time to be eligible.
Mm-hmm.
So this could have been something they wanted to go straight to, you know, Apple or whatever, iTunes.
Yeah.
But it's got to run in the theater. After that run, you know, you can watch it at home. So you're going to see.
I rented it on Amazon so my dad could watch it. And I was talking to him yesterday. I was like, oh, if I rented this, because I didn't know they were going to do it. And I was like, hey, if I rented this, would you watch it? And he's like, well, I don't know. I've seen Aretha, you know, I've seen the Genius thing. And I did buy him that, Amazing Grace Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I don't know. I was like, dude, you fucking watch. And then I called and he wouldn't even speak to me because I'm watching the movie. It's like, all right.
Yeah, all right, dad.
Yeah, all right, dude. Okay. So he's enjoying it. I'm sure he liked it. But yeah. So it's just going to be, do you think it's going to last?
No.
No?
Well, yes and no. I think we'll see some of it because I think theaters will see it as more cost effective for them. Right? They don't have a bunch of money into a bunch of stuff. And, you know, it's a way to test the market, right? If it's performing well, maybe, maybe there are people in the theater, but you know, you run into, especially during this time of year, especially during Oscar season, where we're talking about actual physical theater space,
right?
Show a film. So if I have a small little indie film that I want seen for a couple weeks, maybe I can't do 2,000 theaters. Maybe I gotta do 500 theaters. Mm-hmm. In the case, or 1,000 theaters, if that's the case, then I might want to have it available on demand for people to buy a home. Well.
What's the next? So after Song Shi next week, is it Doom? Is it Doom that's coming out? And what
Doom? Doom's October.
Dune. Okay.
Yeah, we still got Doom. We still got Spider-Man. We still got Top Gun.
Matrix. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Okay. So
you got to fit that in. So I think we'll see studios at least attempt to try to see if it works.
Okay. Well, Tim, this has been fun as always, man. I appreciate you hanging with me and talking movies and all that good stuff. Plug anything that you got. Made in the 80s podcast.
Yeah. It's a pleasure. Thank you for always having me on, man. I appreciate it. We just did Jagged Edge from like 1985.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that. I don't think so.
It's fun. It's got it's crazy. And then we're doing our horror movies in October. So we'll see. Shalia doesn't. She's particular about her type of horror. So I have to be mindful when I'm picking my horror films.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But I'll always look forward to it. That's the one time during the year I get to like, yes, let's find something interesting. But the 80s has a lot of horror comedy. So I can find a lot of like Once Bitten, mm-hmm, with Gary, like those kind of movies. There's a bunch of those in the 80s.
Gotcha. Well, Tim, this has been great. Everybody, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.